Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. We are here to give you our game-by-game breakdown, go through each game, give you some of our favorite players, some of the guys we might not be on, some sleepers, some busts, and end the podcast as we always do with a few bold calls. I am one of our three hosts here on the PFW Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is John Solly. I'm a fantasy football contributor here at Pro Football Weekly. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. I'm joined, as always, by my two co-hosts. First, Kyle Neighbors, Northwest Herald sports editor and PFW contributor. Find him on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors. Kyle, how's it going, man?
It's going all right, guys. A lot of playoffs for fantasy owners this week. I, unfortunately, am not joining them. How about you guys?
I'm in a couple weeks, yeah. What about you, John?
No, I will be missing out this year. But that other voice you just heard, our other co-host, PFW managing editor, you can find him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur Arkish. Arthur, so you're in the playoffs in a couple of leagues for you.
Yeah, and that's just a byproduct of playing in too many more than I'm proud to admit. But I did make it in a couple leagues, and unfortunately, I think I spent too much time around Kyle because I didn't get in a third league, and I'm blaming it mostly on sitting Larry Fitzgerald. He had another nice game last week. I needed those points. I went with Stephon Diggs, and that's what I'm attributing my sitting home on the couch for in that league to.
Hey, I'll go ahead and wear it if it's sitting Larry Fitzgerald. That's always a good play in my mind.
All right. Well, let's get to our game-by-game breakdown. Okay, the first game we're going to talk about is Detroit-Tampa Bay. It opened as a pick'em. Guys, there's a lot of injuries in this game, and we're taping this on Thursday afternoon, so we don't have total clarity yet. But, Arthur, let's start with you. Who are some of the guys that you're really looking at in this one?
Well, you know, guys, I think this should be if all things are equal and if everyone's healthy, I'd anticipate a ton of points in this one. But obviously Vegas is a little concerned about Matthew Stafford's right hand. They don't know what to expect from Tampa Bay's backfield with Doug Martin back on the practice field. I don't know if that's a good thing or not for the Bucs, since Peyton Barber did what Doug Martin hasn't done in a couple years in a Bucs uniform. But I think those are kind of the usual suspects. And, you know, Kyle, I think Marvin Jones and Golden Tate, it's going to be really tough to gauge their value this week without knowing anything about Stafford's hand.
Yeah, at least I haven't seen a practice report from Thursday, but I know Stafford didn't he had limited practice, but he didn't throw any passes in the open portion of practice, and he wasn't even handing the ball off with his right hand. He was using his left hand to hand the ball off, which isn't a great sign. I don't know anything, honestly, about Jake Rudock, so it's hard for me to get a feel. If Stafford's able to go, I love Marvin Jones in this spot. And on the other side, I was really interested in Peyton Barber, but with Doug Martin back in the mix, they just refused to go away from him, despite the fact that he doesn't look very well. He hasn't looked good since I think that first week he came back. He kind of had upside there, but it's quickly evaporated. I really don't know what to do with this game. John, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I'm going to be cautiously optimistic on the Detroit side, just because that Tampa Bay defense is so bad that I think even a guy like Jake Rudock can put up functional numbers. So I'm not all that worried on the Detroit side. The Tampa Bay side, like you, I had some interest in Peyton Barber, but with Doug Martin back in the mix, you're totally right. Tampa Bay just isn't going to go away from him. With that, let's move on to the next game, Chicago-Cincinnati. It is a 38.5 over-under, Cincinnati favored by 6.5 at home. Kyle, who are some of the plays you're looking at for this game?
I'm guessing Giovanni Bernard was a pretty popular pickup on waivers this week, and a really good spot if Joe Mixon is unable to go, and it doesn't look like he's going to be able to. Outside of that, I mean, Andy Dalton has quietly kind of come on here in the last month or so. He's playing pretty well. The Bears have started to leak a little bit on defense. They've given up points to wide receivers quite a bit in the last month or so. So A.J. Green, I think, is in a big spot. Obviously, you're playing him. So I think that the two under-the-radar spots are Mixon and – or not Mixon, I'm sorry – Bernard and Dalton. But the question is there anyone on the Bears at this point that is playable, Arthur?
The Bears have a combined 287 yards of offense in the past 2 weeks. That's hard to even wrap your head around, but it is a fact I assure you can go check. You know, we've been banging the Jordan Howard drum more or less all season, and you know, we're not going to do it with confidence this week. But John, I mean, it seems very unlikely that Vontaze Burfict's going to play in this one. The Bengals were almost out of healthy linebackers by the end of that uncomfortable watch Monday night, so you got to roll with Jordan Howard, right? I mean, I know it's been brutal the past couple weeks, but what else are the Bears going to do?
Yeah, I mean, you have to keep the faith a little bit with Jordan Howard on this and hope that the Bears, the offensive staff, you know, decides to give the ball to their best player. And that shouldn't be too much of an ask, but it really has been for the past few weeks. And I think you just have to keep going with Howard. And really, there's nobody else on that Bears offense that's playable.
Kyle, go ahead, bud.
I wouldn't even play Howard at this point. With Kyle Long out, they've not shown the ability to run inside. I mean, they were playing a San Francisco defense that has been gashed between the tackles all season last week, and I think they had one run for positive more than 3 yards inside the tackles last week. And there's no ceiling at this point. It's really sad to see for a guy that I thought could have a really big year.
Yeah, Howard's got a combined 20 carries for 42 yards over the past week, that after his blow-up against Detroit. So, yeah, you won't do it with a lot of confidence. If you want something that's going to be, you know, require even a greater leap of faith, I guess Dontrell Inman, just because he found the end zone for the first time last week, and Adam Jones could be out with that groin injury. But, again, what did you say, John? A point total of like 38 in this one? You probably just want to look elsewhere outside of A.J. Green and Gio Bernard.
All right, with that, let's move on to the next game, Indianapolis and Buffalo. This one is a pick'em currently as well because we are missing some information. So, Kyle, anybody you got a whole lot of faith in this one?
I mean, not really outside of the usual suspects. I think this is an obvious smash spot for LeSean McCoy. Yeah. The question is, I mean, I'm guessing Tyrod Taylor's going to go. It sounds like he's going to go. I think he's a good streamer. If he's able to, Arthur, are you comfortable with plugging him in against the Indianapolis defense?
As a streaming option, I suppose you could do worse. I believe the Colts lost yet another member of the secondary last week in Pierre Desterre, so there's just really nothing left whatsoever. But, you know, Tyrod hasn't been good. You're so reliant on his legs, and with the knee injury, you'd have to think that kind of caps his ceiling even further. Charles Clay also dealing with a knee injury. So not a lot to like here, guys. T.Y. Hilton's finally had a good game in a loss. All of his production for the most part this season had come in those three wins. So I guess that's semi-encouraging. And tight ends have done well against the Bills. So maybe Jack Doyle. But this is another game that you're probably not going to want to rest your playoff fate on.
Definitely. Let's move on to the next game that I think is going to be a much better real-life football game than fantasy football game. Seattle at Jacksonville. 40 is the over-under. Jacksonville favored by 2.5 at home. Kyle, I want to get your thoughts on this one.
Well, I mean, here's the question. I mean, how much faith – I mean, you're going to play him either way, right? But, I mean, is Russell Wilson – the type of guy, or are they in the type of offense going across country against a really good Jacksonville defense? Like, man, like, how far do you lower expectations for Russell Wilson this week, John?
I lower him a little bit, and, you know, with the way Russell Wilson operates, and considering this game got flexed the afternoon, it's going to be late in the day, or seemingly late in the day, and you're going to look at Russell Wilson's line. And there aren't a lot of points, but come fourth quarter, Russell Wilson has been able to put up a fair amount of points. So just be, you know, sort of beware of that, I think. But I'll lower him a little bit, but it's still Russell Wilson. I think he still finds a way to get it done just because everything in Seattle's offense runs through him. And so if Seattle's going to do anything, it's going to be on the back of Russell Wilson. Arthur, what do you think?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's got 20 combined touchdowns since the middle of October. He's been really as hot as any quarterback in football. And, John, I think you just hit it on the head. I mean, we already know that he's going to have to strap the whole team on his back. So I don't really have a problem counting on him to do that, even in a cross-country trip. Pete Carroll's been great. Pete Carroll coach clubs going across country. So I've got him at QB2 this week. That might be a bit much, but you got other tough matchups across the board when you look at, you know, guys like Carson Wentz and Cam Newton, who we'll get to in a little bit. So I'm cautiously optimistic, or maybe even more than cautiously optimistic. What about Mike Davis, Kyle? I know he was a waiver darling this week and has finally emerged. I shouldn't say finally. I should say someone has finally emerged into somewhat of a bell cow role for the Seahawks.
I don't know about you. I don't really want to touch Seattle running backs. It's been a smart move all season. John, are you willing to go there?
Not against the Jacksonville rush D, no.
Yeah, the Jacksonville rush D seems to have gotten a lot better over the last month.
Seattle's going to have to try and find a way to move the ball some way, guys. Mike Davis was on the field a ton last week. I hear you. It's been a crapshoot, but until Chris Carson gets back, I think we've now seen enough. At least it's a small sample size, but it certainly seemed like we knew what Pete Carroll wants to do with Mike Davis if he's healthy. So I think you could do worse in a flex spot. You just got to have reasonable expectations.
All right, well, let's move on to the next game. Oakland at Kansas City, 48.5 is the over-under. Kansas City favored by 4 at home. Arthur, last week I called the Kansas City offense broken, and then they went out and put up 30-plus points against the Jets. So what are we going back to the well against this Oakland defense? And what about Kareem Hunt, who has really, really struggled for the past couple months, really?
Yeah, you know, I would agree that the Chiefs' offense was broken, and I guess that makes Matt Nagy, the new play caller, some type of handyman, because Alex Smith had his best fantasy game of the season, I believe. Everyone got involved there out against the Jets, and, you know, I don't think the Raiders' defense is any better than the Jets. It may be worse. So I think that you're going to fire up mostly everyone in this game, including Kareem Hunt, certainly including Alex Smith. And we'll get to the Raiders side here in a second, but guys, remember this was 31 or 31-30. One of the wilder games of the season was that Thursday night back in week 7, when Derek Carr and Alex Smith combined for like 8 touchdowns and like almost 800 yards of offense. So, I could totally see it going similarly again, assuming, no crazy, you know, Mother Nature intervention occurs. Kyle, what about you? And what about the Raiders side of things with Michael Crabtree coming back and Marcus Peters gone?
Yeah, I think obviously the biggest play is Michael Crabtree. Interested to see how Derek Carr performs. He hasn't played well at Arrowhead in the past. So, you know, he's been kind of up and down. He's had a lot of deep completions, but he's been really inconsistent. Feel like, you know, he's kind of middle of the pack here. I'm not sure what to make of this game. I kind of think Kansas City runs away with it. I'm interested to see what Kareem Hunt does. Guys, looking through the box score here, I didn't realize Alex Smith had a 70-yard rushing play. What happened there? Someone fill me in.
John, did you get to see that one?
I did catch the highlight on that one, and it was a total Jets defense breakdown. And Alex Smith, who is deceptively fast, got into the second level and then just – basically found a seam and kept going as long as he could.
Don went there deceptively fast. That means he's a gym rat and a grinder too, right, Kyle?
It means he's white.
Well, I pulled up one box score and saw one rushing attempt for 70 yards, and I had to pull up a second box score just to make sure it wasn't a mistake.
Yeah, it was.
I mean,
it was
a good athlete. We've seen him do it. We haven't seen explosive runs like that frequently, but he you know, he's always had the legs as a nice resource for him. So.
All right, well, let's move on to the next one. Minnesota, Carolina, 40.5 is the over-under. Minnesota favored by 2.5 in Carolina. Arthur, I want to get your thoughts on this game.
Yeah, I don't like the matchups at all for Carolina. You know, it's a limited offense. At least, you know, at the skill positions, it's limited. Obviously, Cam Newton makes it really dynamic when he's going right. But obviously, Devin Funchess is going to draw Xavier Rhodes, and we saw what Rhodes did to Julio Jones and in pretty much every receiver he's faced this season, except for Marvin Jones, actually. And Christian McCaffrey is going to get those two really athletic linebackers and Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks. So, and Cam Newton, I don't know what to expect. I mean, I guess he kind of padded his stat line last week, and I know there was a drop touchdown that could have made it even better for him, but it's just such a dicey bet. And I don't see how Carolina's really going to fare all that much better than Atlanta did last week. Kyle, do you see things differently?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think that Minnesota's going to win this game going away here, but I think that you're going to still have pretty usable fantasy days from Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey, mostly because I mean, Cam Newton's just going to pad his stats with the rushing, and I think Christian McCaffrey, particularly if you're in a PPR league, Devin Funchess is going to be taken away by Xavier Rhodes. They're going to have to find a way to move the ball. I just think McCaffrey's going to be a large part of the offense. John, how about you?
Yeah, I think if you're looking anywhere in the Carolina offense, it's going to be McCaffrey that you have some confidence in. Certainly downgrading Devin Funchess against Mr. Xavier Rhodes.
What about on the Minnesota guy, the Minnesota side, guys? It's been hard to know which back to pick. It's kind of been hard to know which receiver to pick, or at least some fool who started Stephon Diggs over Larry Fitzgerald is saying that. Anything out of the ordinary here with Minnesota?
The Stephon Diggs game is coming. We just know it is. You just got to find the right week, Arthur. Hang in there, buddy.
I don't think it's this week.
Yeah, I mean, there was no. It was supposed to be the Desmond Trufant list week last week, and it didn't happen. So I'm no longer hanging in there in the one league, but I guess our league keep holding out hope anyway.
I really don't know what was going on in that game. Like, you know, Minnesota. That was one of those games where Minnesota was kind of firmly in control, despite the fact that whatever we thought going into it, like, it just didn't happen. Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, I think we both, all three of us thought they were both going to have at least usable games, if not big games. And then Laquon Treadwell was getting involved all of a sudden, and I don't really know what to make of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have faith in Treadwell. Yeah. I agree the Diggs game is coming. I don't think it's this week. I want to wait until he gets back in the dome. All right, okay, let's move on to the next game. Green Bay at Cleveland, 40.5 is the over-under. Green Bay favored by 3.5 on the road. Kyle, I want to get your thoughts on Josh Gordon in this one. This looks like a good matchup, and Gordon looks like his old self, at least
yeah,
from playing-wise.
Yeah. He got 11 targets last week against a Chargers secondary that I have a lot of respect for, so coming home to face a Green Bay secondary that is nowhere near as good as LA's, I'd say that he's in a pretty good spot. You know, I guess the question I have for Arthur is, can DeShone Kizer really support more than one receiver? So does this kind of knock Corey Coleman back down after what looked like he might, that Corey Coleman might be starting to emerge a little bit?
Well, it obviously did last week. Kept off the fantasy scoreboard Corey Coleman was, as Josh Gordon, I think, turned those, 10 or so targets into 4 catches and 78 yards. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great question. If Aaron Rodgers was playing, I guess I'd feel better about both of these Browns receivers, because I would just assume the Browns are going to be playing catch-up. But in a Brett Hundley kind of game script, I'm not so sure. And, you know, I don't think we could be a whole lot more encouraged by what we saw initially from Josh Gordon. But, of course, it's a tiny sample size, guys, so there's still a little bit of risk involved. I guess that's only fitting when you're talking about Josh Gordon. What about DeShone Kizer? This is me selfishly trying to get one of my start sit questions answered from you experts. Would you just consider – well, I'll wait until we get to them because we haven't talked San Francisco yet, but I've got a bit of a dilemma in my QB2 league.
I like Kizer this week, and I like him because I think he brings – almost a safer floor than you would expect. And it's really based off of what he's been doing on the ground lately. He's been running for, let's see his rushing totals the last four games, 57 yards, 22, 39, 46. And he's gotten in the end zone twice on the ground. So I think he brings a somewhat safe floor into this matchup. So I don't mind Kizer in an if then really with Jimmy G, to be honest with you. I prefer Kizer on that one.
Okay, well, you were reading my mind, so that's the decision, and I haven't made my mind up yet, but I do agree on Kizer certainly having a relatively safe floor because of the rushing ability. If you could ever just protect the football and go on a stretch there, then you might really have something. What about on the Packers side, guys? Jordy Nelson reappeared last week, at least from a target standpoint. But I assume he's way off the radar. And then what about that rookie running back backfield? Because I'm super high on Jamal Williams this week.
Yeah, I'd say Jamal Williams is in play here. You know, I was a little concerned when Aaron Jones was active last week. Then I think he had about 3 touches total. So Jamal Williams is clearly the guy there right now. The Cleveland defense has started to soften over the last 3 weeks or so against the run. So I think that's probably the most confident I feel in a guy here. You're not really touching the receiving core outside of Devontae Adams. who I know had a kind of a down week last week, but you know, against this Cleveland secondary, should bounce back. He's been Brett Hundley's favorite target. I don't think I would go anywhere else, John. Would you?
And not with any confidence, no. No, you can try it as a flex and understand that there's a risk. Just like on the Cleveland side, there's a risk with Corey Coleman. The floor is zero, but there, you know, there's certainly upside with some of these guys that you've been mentioning. With that, let's move on to the next game. San Francisco, Houston, 44.5 is the over under. Houston favored by 3 at home. Kyle, I touched on me wanting Kaiser over Jimmy G. What do you feel about Jimmy G in this matchup against the Texans?
I'll tell you what, this is my favorite game for fantasy production of the week. I love it. Everyone here is in play in my mind. And I think Jimmy G is a fantastic streamer if you were able to go and pick him up. You know, he would be really highly talked about right now after that performance last week if San Francisco hadn't gone 0-for-5 in the red zone. That's not going to continue to happen, particularly against this Houston secondary. I think that he has, of those kind of streamer options, I think he has the highest upside of the week out of anyone. Arthur, it sounds like you have a pretty difficult decision to make between Kaiser and Garoppolo. I say you have to go Jimmy G.
Yeah, you know, it's a good problem to have for that super flex spot. And I'll be honest, Kyle, I was leaning in your direction because maybe it's just the bias of getting to watch Garoppolo up close and personal, but it's also that Texans defense, which just still is a train wreck. And gosh, when Garoppolo was looking for either Marquise Goodwin or Trent Taylor last week, he absolutely could not miss. That was pretty impressive to see. We didn't see him to do a whole lot with his legs, but he can move a little bit too. So if he needs to run from someone like Jadeveon Clowney or something, I'm confident he can. I agree. I like a lot of the plays on this side, and I know a big streamer, you know, guy to discuss this week on the opposite side is Steven Anderson. John, I'll throw it back to you. He had, I think, 12 targets last week, his best game in the NFL, and now the Texans have lost C.J. Fedorowicz and Bruce Ellington. Do you like Steven Anderson maybe as a Rob Gronkowski or potentially a Zach Ertz fill-in?
Yeah, I love him as a fill-in for one of those guys this week if you needed a tight end, if you have Gronk or Ertz. So I think that's a great call. You know, besides DeAndre Hopkins, who else are they really going to throw to? I know Will Fuller maybe is on his way back, but how healthy is he? Houston still likes to utilize the tight end in the passing game. San Francisco not very has gotten worse against tight ends as the season has progressed. They started off pretty well, but because of injuries, they've gotten worse against tight ends. So, yeah, I think you could do a lot worse than Steven Anderson.
Guys, the 49ers had allowed touchdowns to tight ends in 6 consecutive games, so the Bears decided they better put their second-round pick, Adam Shaheen, on mothballs. That made sense, right?
another reason why there are coaching changes coming in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let's move on to the next game. Washington at the Chargers. 46 is the over-under. The Chargers favored by 6 at home. I want to get your thoughts on this one, Arthur. What do you think?
Keenan Allen is good at football. He'll probably be in good shape with Keenan Allen. Record-breaking three-game output, I'm sure everyone knows by now. 10-plus catches, 100-plus yards. The dude is absolutely in fuego right now. And I don't think there's anyone in Washington that's going to stop him. That includes Josh Norman. And I don't know if he's going to draw Norman a ton because when Allen goes inside, he's going to get Kendall Fuller. So, outstanding spot for him. A little curious, has anyone heard more about Hunter Henry? I know he popped up on the injury report with a knee issue, which is unfortunate because it looked like the Chargers were in the midst of truly unlocking him. Kyle, do you know anything on that, or is there anyone else on the Chargers side that interests you?
It appears that he was taken off the injury report today. So, so he appears to be good to go. I love the Chargers in this spot. I mean, Rivers, Allen, Hunter Henry. I love the Chargers defense this week. Washington going across country and really doesn't look right. Their offensive line has not been in great shape. I think this is a spot where the Chargers smash. John, do you agree with me?
The Chargers run to the AFC West crown continues, I think. I think you're absolutely right that there are a lot of guys in really good spots here. So I've got no problem playing any of the Chargers, but if you've got Kirk Cousins, I don't mind throwing him up in this matchup. Cousins has been, for the most part, producing kind of no matter who's on the field with him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess
sorry, go ahead,
that's
Tom.
Not a bad that's not a bad idea if you really think the way I do, where that the Chargers are going to see the lead pretty quickly and probably build a sizable one. You know, Cousins is probably going to have a lot of opportunities to throw the ball. I mean, this is one of those games where he could throw it 40 plus times. So yeah, I don't disagree with that.
I've got Cousins as my QB5 this week, but it is with an asterisk because he is just getting pounded, and I'm really a little bit worried about how he's going to hold up against that Chargers pass rush. And we already know there won't be Jordan Reed once again. It seems like everyone is injured in Washington. So, John, you're right. Cousins is a gamer. He's been doing it week in and week out, and I think I ranked him that high in part because of really tough matchups elsewhere. But I don't really know who he does it with. You know, Josh Doxson's such a boom or bust proposition. Vernon Davis has fallen off the grid. So not sure who eats along with Cousins, but obviously I am confident he's going to produce still.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next game. The Jets at Denver, 41.5 is the over-under. Jets favored by 1 on the road. Who would have thought that? Jets being favored at Denver. Certainly, I would not have thought that at the start of the season, but here we are, and Josh McCown looks playable in this matchup. Arthur, what do you think?
The same people who thought that, John, were the ones that thought Josh McCown was going to have a career year at age 38 and Robbie Anderson was going to be fantasy's most consistent wideout producer outside of Julio. Excuse me, not Julio, but AJ Green and Antonio Brown and DeAndre Hopkins, because that's where we are. That's where we're at. Robbie Anderson's been out of control. Josh McCown has been great. And now with all that being said, I don't love McCown this week. If you have a better option, you better go out and get it. I've got him as a kind of a middling QB2, just because it seems like Denver's got, I mean, they're a different team at home typically. And, you know, John Elway has kind of made everyone feel a little bit uneasy there. I wonder if this is a spot where that old defense maybe possibly reappears. What about you, Kyle?
This game sucks. I mean, that's really all you can say. Denver's bad. The Jets, I don't feel like dealing with the Jets going on the road to Denver. It's just let's just move on.
All right, you heard Kyle. Let's move on. Tennessee and Arizona, 44 is the over-under, with Tennessee favored by 3 on the road. Kyle, does this game suck a little less than Jets-Denver?
Well, the first question I have here is, or I guess it's more of a declaration, and we saw how this worked out for you last week with Kansas City, but the Tennessee offense is broken. I don't know exactly what's wrong. I thought this was going to be a much better unit, but Arthur, please tell me that it's broken. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. It's been rough, you know. Marcus Mariota's got, I think, just 2 multi-touchdown games on the entire season. The breakout we saw coming, it just hasn't happened. And, you know, Mike Mularkey just refuses to get super exotic by playing his best running back. So, you know, 2 big finishes for Derrick Henry in a row, but you just aren't confident that they're going to really start leaning on him until the fourth quarter. He's become the closer, not only for that team, but kind of the best closer in football, frankly. And then either way, fantasy football guys are like, well, what about quarters 1 through 3? Yeah, he's not, you know, even as banged up as he is, I think he's got a different injury for like the 4th consecutive week. Delanie Walker is probably the guy you feel best about in this one. What do you think, John?
I think the Titans have given up more points than they've scored and are somehow 8-4. So wow. When you talk about a miserable offense, yeah, especially for fantasy purposes, yeah, I totally agree, you know, with the exception of Derrick Henry, who Arthur, your analysis was really spot on that one. Anything on the Arizona side that looks appealing? Larry Fitzgerald at home?
Yeah, I mean, this is a Larry Fitzgerald spot as much as I hate to admit it. You know, for streaming purposes, we talked about Steven Anderson. Another guy that if he's still available that I have interest in would be Ricky Seals-Jones. You know, he had kind of a down week last week but still had 5 targets, but we've seen that they like to use him in the red zone. He's got even having only, 44 yards last week, that was on 2 receptions. So he's shown some big play potential too. I think he's actually in a pretty good spot here.
Yeah, it's not a bad call.
You're just going to have to kind of hold your breath because he's really not spending a lot of time on the field, but it seems like whenever he's out there, You know, the Cardinals are thinking about him and looking at him. So you could probably do worse as a streaming option. Kyle, I have to know really quickly, what is it about Larry Fitzgerald? He's on pace for another 1,000-yard season. He's going to have 6 or 7 touchdowns. What do you have against aging guys who find ways to reinvent themselves?
You know, it's really more me being stubborn. I didn't like him at the beginning of the year. and he's turned out to be fine for the most part, which is surprising because he's usually had quick starts and kind of faded. As much as I hate to admit it, like, Blaine Gabbert can't push the ball down the field, so, like, Larry Fitzgerald has had to be that guy. You know, like, they're just having to force the ball to him. So, I mean, he's fine. He just needs to go away.
Hey, John, well, he's going to go away soon enough into Canton, obviously, but not until after at least next season, it looks like, with the contract extension. John, what about Blaine Gabbert? Did you get to watch any of him last week? I know it wasn't as productive as the previous couple, and yet it looks like he took seven sacks. So I don't think he was getting a whole lot of help from his guys up front.
No, and Gabbard tends to take a few more sacks than most quarterbacks. Yep. He holds onto the ball a little bit. So, you know, that's always a risk. But I still enjoy targeting the Tennessee secondary. So if I think there are much better options, but if you're really absolutely desperate, then sure, I guess. But I think we've named some better options on this podcast already.
Do we know anything about Adrian Peterson? Is it going to be another week out for him? I know he's dealing with a neck and missed his first game with the Cardinals last week.
I have not seen an update, but I think with Peterson, it's usually a wait and see type deal.
Sure.
Yeah, it says his status is undetermined.
All right, well, with that, let's move on. Philadelphia at the Rams. This game opened at a 51 over-under. It's down to 48, so some money coming in on the under. Rams favored by 2 points at home. Kyle, I want to get your thoughts on this game from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think Sammy Watkins would be able to get in the end zone against Patrick Peterson, but there he is. And, you know, this is another matchup that I don't know how much you want to attack it. Like, I guess there's going to be points scored in this game, I think. So Sammy Watkins is as good as any. I really think this is a game, though, that the Rams rely heavily on Todd Gurley. Like I said, I just really don't like this game in terms of the game flow for passing attacks in this game. Arthur, John, how do you see this game playing out?
I don't see a ton of safe passing game options. There are some guys that, you know, you're going to start Alshon, you're going to start Sammy Watkins, but I think you might want to lower expectations, and I'm with you. I think Gurley is the guy you're probably have the highest expectations for in a matchup like this as a home favorite.
Have we found any more clarity at all, guys, on the Philadelphia backfield? Because, you know, they're going to try and get back to running the football a little bit and get back to what's been working for them. The game got away from them, and therefore, obviously, the script kind of got away from them last week.
I
no,
don't
not
see
really.
Any. Yeah.
I watched that entire game, and I came away just as confused as I had been about them. So I really don't know what's going to happen on a week-to-week basis there. I guess the only thing we can say is we don't know what's going to happen on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, it's a bit of a
yeah,
leap
no doubt,
of faith.
I'm sorry, John. This one will be closer played, and it'll be better to get a gauge on. But I agree, we didn't find out much Sunday night.
All right, with that, let's move on to the next game. Dallas at the New York Giants, 41.5 is the over-under. Dallas favored by 4 on the road. Arthur, what are your thoughts on this game?
I'm not starting Eli, although the Giants are again, so there's that. I don't know. Is the Cowboys offensive line, did it get its groove back? Because, man, did it dominate last Thursday. Granted, against a really shorthanded Washington club, and we saw Alfred Morris benefit from it, no doubt. And I'll even throw in, I saw shades of the old Dez Bryant, guys. Were your senses as heightened as mine watching him go up and attack that touchdown, or was I longing for at least some sign of the old Dez, and therefore I'm kind of blowing this out of proportion?
I don't really see it, John. How about you?
I think you'll see it in flashes, but not the old Dez that we all know and love.
So what do we look at in this game, guys? Obviously, there was enough you know, enough thrown up in the air in New York this week, and sometimes we see kind of an immediate boost from someone taking over in the coaching ranks. Steve Spagnuolo taking over for Ben McAdoo. I know the Giants' offense, another one that's largely broken, but do you guys think they circle the wagons around Eli and someone like Evan Ingram has a big blow-up spot? I think Sterling Shepard hurt again, which obviously is really going to hurt a limited offense.
I'd say, you know, I actually like Shepard. It sounds like he was on the field for practice today. So as long as he's back and healthy, I just think that he goes back to having a really high ceiling with Eli back under center. Evan Ingram obviously is always in play. You know, that's really it for that side, though, unless, John, you have any interest in the running backs on the Giants?
With the lack of clarity in that, and I think that the Giants may force Eli on some folks to have him just throw the ball a little bit more, maybe as sort of a see ya Ben McAdoo type of thing. I could certainly see that in play. I don't see much clarity in the Giants running back situation where I feel safe with any of those guys.
How good do we feel about Alfred Morris, guys? 27, 127, and a touchdown last night. He's averaging 5.4 yards per carry. We can say definitively at least one thing about the Cowboys. Alfred Morris hasn't been the problem since Zeke Elliott left.
Yeah,
Morris has been great.
I'd go ahead and plug him in.
Yeah, I have no problem with Morris at all. I think this is a favorable matchup for him, too.
I do too. I've got him at RB10 overall, and I think this is another big spot for him. So just making sure we're all on the same page there.
Let's move on to the Sunday night game, Baltimore and Pittsburgh. 43.5 is the over-under. Pittsburgh favored by 5 at home. Guys, I know you have no concern over Brown or Bell in matchups like this, but after that Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game, which is always a war, and it especially was this past week, any concern about any lingering effects on the Steelers going up against a Baltimore defense that can do some things?
All right, I'll let you take this one.
All right. I think it's still, guys, the lingering. I'm uncomfortable talking about it because the game was just so brutal. I don't have real concerns. No, Le'Veon Bell, that was maybe his best game of the season. It was his second best fantasy game of the season. And, you know, we've seen the offense operate without Martavis, and I actually suspect it'll do the same without Juju because of Martavis. So, I think you probably kind of slot guys as you normally would in this matchup. Anyone sort of drinking any type of Ravens Kool-Aid after they dropped another 40 spot on Detroit last week?
No, not really. The Baltimore Ravens are a team that I just avoid for fantasy purposes, whether it's season-long or daily. They're just not a lot of fun to roster at any point.
You could take a flyer on Mike Wallace, I think, but I don't have a ton of faith in it.
Well, guys, without Ryan Shazier,
who was that?
Sorry, my Bluetooth switched on. And no, Alex Collins love at all. He's going to get a Ryan Shazier-less defense, and he's been pretty consistent.
John, I'll let you take that. I know Alex Collins is your boy.
Yeah, I don't mind Alex Collins. I don't love road dog running backs playing another division game. But I could see a path for Alex Collins. I don't mind him in a flex spot.
All right.
And with that, let's move on to the Monday night game before we close out with some bold calls. This one should be a blowout. New England at Miami. 47 is the over-under. The Patriots are 12-point favorites. Kyle, we got no Gronk, so where do the targets go for the Patriots?
Well, I thought last week the targets were going to go to Brandon Cooks, and that isn't the case. That's just the problem with the Patriots offense. Like, I don't really have a good feeling for where those targets are going to go. Arthur, do you have any more insight than I have?
Not especially. I mean, I think you feel really good about the two running backs again. I actually think James White is kind of back on the grid now, too, maybe against the Miami.
We called this about a month ago. When James White disappeared from the offense, we said sometime in December we're going to be talking about James White again.
Absolutely. We'll pat yourself on the back because, yes, he got the start last week and was very much back in the mix. So, yeah, you know, in a season-long league, I'm not sure if you can really risk it, but maybe as a kind of a, you know, a low-priced DFS play. But there's also Chris Hogan, who looks like he could be coming back this week to kind of further complicate things just as Gronk leaves the equation. So it's going to be tough. You know, on the Miami side, I'd love to – Kenyon Drake, it looks like a stud, but you just kind of have to figure that this one's going to get away from Miami pretty quickly, and therefore they may have to get away from Drake too.
I feel good about Drake in a PPR league, but in a non-PPR league, I am significantly downgrading him.
Yeah, Damian Williams. Is Damian Williams ruled out again yet?
Not entirely sure. Yeah, our listeners will have to check on that. But I think Drake has likely done enough at this point, including in a feature role last week where he's going to be super busy either way.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I don't hate him there. I'd like him more in PPR leagues, though.
And as always, we will close the podcast with our bold call segment. And as we were taping this, New York Jets wide receiver Robbie Anderson had to be helped off of practice with an apparent hamstring injury. So, guys, something to monitor going forward. But let's get to our bold calls. Kyle, do you have a bold call for the week?
Yeah, I kind of alluded to it earlier. That the fact that the Niners went 0-for-5 in the red zone this week and that they weren't going to do it again, I think Jimmy Garoppolo goes off. I think he's a top-5 quarterback this week.
All right, I like that. Arthur, do you have a bold call for this week in fantasy football?
Yeah, that isn't Robbie Anderson, because I was just getting ready to tell everyone he'd be a top-5 wide receiver in Denver, and then he got hurt, so we had to retape. I'm going to go back to Alex Collins, the Sunday night game. Guys, last time he played in primetime, he was awesome. We found out he's so awesome because he takes Irish dancing lessons, apparently. But I just, you know, Mike Tomlin, great at dealing with the type of distractions and adversity that his team's dealing with this week. But I just don't know who's going to be in the middle of that defense without Ryan Shazier to stop Alex Collins. So I predict another big, big spot for him, and I'll say a top-5 RB finish for Collins.
All right, I'm going to add to that top-5 RB finish with my bold call. I think Alfred Morris is a top-5 running back this week against the Giants team that still in shambles and picking up the pieces after letting go of Ben McAdoo. I think Alfred Morris is firmly entrenched in that RB1 spot in Dallas, and I really like him against that Giants team. So that'll do it for this week's Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. For Arthur Arkish and Kyle Neighbors, I'm John Solid. Good luck in your matchups this weekend.